Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, in 2008, a group of Belgian and British scientists did an experiment. They invited 74 volunteers to play a card game. Sounds easy enough. Plenty of us like playing cards. Well, in the experiment, the participants were divided into two groups. Let's just say group A and group B. Now, here's where it becomes different from any card game you've ever played. Or at least I hope so. As the groups played their game, they would periodically receive a mild electrical shock. Well, after the first third of the experiment, group A was told by the scientists that certain responses in the card game would influence whether or not they got shocked. So in other words, based on how they literally played their cards, they could control if they got shocked or not. Group B was not told this, so they couldn't control when they were shocked. Well, the participants continued playing their game, but the people in Group A lowered the number of times they got shocked based on how they played, which made Group A feel a lot better. But then, in the last third of the experiment, the researchers purposefully ignored their own rules. So in other words, Group A had learned how to control the shocks, but those controls no longer worked. Even if they continued to play their cards right, those actions didn't prevent the shocks anymore. Everyone was getting shocked just like they were at the start of the experiment. Well, the point of the whole thing was to find out if those who had control and lost it experienced greater pain than those who never had control to begin with. It turns out, yes. Even though the intensity of the shocks remained the same for both groups throughout the experiment, those in Group A found the experience considerably more unpleasant. They had greater fear and distress, and they had a reduced ability to concentrate. So that means there are two things we can learn from this experiment. First, never play a card game with someone if they're holding a set of electrodes. And second, we humans want to be in control. Of course, we probably don't need an experiment to tell us that. We all know that we feel better when we're able to control things. And sometimes we can control them. But sometimes that control is taken away. And what we did before doesn't work anymore. Then we feel quite unpleasant. We have greater fear and distress. We have a reduced ability to concentrate. In a way, it sort of feels like all of us have been living in a giant experiment about control since March 2020. We can't stop the pain, but maybe we can do something to make it hurt less. James and John had a similar experience. In today's gospel reading, we hear about them making a request from Jesus, a request that's all about control. But before we get to their request, we need to see why they made the request in the first place. Last week, we heard the story of Jesus and the rich young man. That story ended at Mark 10, verse 31. Today's reading starts at Mark 10, verse 35. So we've skipped over three verses. Here's what those verses say. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. So this is the third time now that Jesus has predicted his death and resurrection to the disciples. The first time was after Peter's confession of faith in Caesarea Philippi, which we heard about back on September 12th. The second time was right before the disciples argued who among them was the greatest, which we heard about on September 19th. Then the gospel writer tells us that story about the other exorcists the disciples wanted to stop, September 26th. We heard Jesus talk about divorce and bless the children, October 3rd. And then last week, October 10th, we got that scene with the rich man. So that means Jesus has predicted his death and resurrection for the third time and has done all three of them in a very short period of time. So it's not like the disciples didn't know this was coming. Even so, they still didn't like it. As the verses skipped over by the lectionary said, those who followed were afraid. And when they were afraid, they wanted to have control. Just like us. All right, think of that experiment again. The participants knew that the shocks were coming, and maybe they were a bit afraid of it. I mean, I would be. When Group A found out they could control the shocks, though, that made them feel better. So this is what James and John were trying to do. They wanted to control what was happening. In particular, what was happening to them. They knew they couldn't stop Jesus from dying, just like the participants couldn't stop those shocks. But perhaps they could have some control and not make it hurt as much. Or maybe think of it this way. Earlier, we heard about how Peter tried to prevent the whole situation, right? When he rebuked Jesus for talking about dying. Here, James and John seem to know they can't stop his suffering and dying, but maybe they can prevent their own suffering. So they come up to Jesus and make a bold request. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. That's gutsy. They're basically bossing Jesus around here. But Jesus is curious about their request, and so he asks, well, what is it you want me to do for you? And they say that they want the seats of honor next to him when he comes into his glory. They are two of his closest disciples, after all. Right? Knowing there's a couple of cushy seats waiting for them would make this whole process a whole lot easier. Sort of like the kid who gets dragged with a parent to the parent's doctor's appointment. The kid can't stop the event from happening, but if the parent promises to buy them ice cream afterwards, maybe it's not so bad. But Jesus, though, knows that James and John don't really understand the whole situation here. It's not about trying to avoid or minimizing the suffering. So he says to them, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say, we are able! Probably not having a clue what Jesus was talking about. But how many times do we say we are able to handle something when we really not? How many times do we put on a brave face rather than admit that we're scared about something? How many times do we say, oh, I'm doing fine, when really we're just barely keeping it all together? Yes, we can do this, Jesus. Or at least that's what we say. Well, Jesus then tells James and John that they will die like he will. But those spots on his left and right belong to other people. In other words, no ice cream for you. Or anybody else, for that matter. Because think about it. The gospel writer does tell us who these spots next to Jesus are for. Do you remember where else we've heard about two people on either side of him? It's the criminals crucified next to him. The seats of honor next to Jesus are not thrones, but crosses. So that means really following Jesus is not about having a cushy, comfortable life. It's about being crucified with him. This is why Jesus told his disciples to take up their cross and follow him. This is why he told them to care for the powerless ones, like the children. This is why he said the first will be last and the last will be first. Consider also what Paul writes in Galatians 2. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. Following Jesus does not lead to seats of power and control. It leads to the cross and the empty tomb. So this is clearly not what James and John were thinking of. They wanted things to get better for them, not worse. They wanted the ice cream after the doctor's appointment. They did not want to be the ones having the procedure. Just like us. When we are experiencing something that feels out of our control, we would rather avoid the whole situation instead of go through the pain. We want the power and control too, not the cross. But there is still good news here. Actually, there are two pieces of good news. The first one is that Jesus suffers with us. Whether you're going through this pandemic or dealing with some medical situation or going through some other kind of suffering, Jesus knows what it's like. He is right there with you. He feels your pain. You might feel like you're being crucified, but if you look next to you, you'll see Jesus is hanging on the cross too. You are not alone in your suffering. The God of all creation will not let anything stand in the way of his love for you. He comes to you in your pain, and he will give you new life. And that's the second part of the good news. God's love for you is stronger than your suffering. Jesus told his disciples 3 times that he would die, and also 3 times that he would rise again. Jesus knew that suffering and death were not the end of the story. And yes, even if we don't want them to be in the story to begin with, but we can't control that. The electrical shocks will still come, no matter how we play our cards. But Jesus still conquered the grave. He still showed us that nothing, no pain, no struggles, not even death itself, is stronger than he is. And James and John would indeed suffer because of the cross. They would go on to be persecuted for their faith. James, in fact, would become a martyr in the early church. And John would actually become the only one of the 12 not to be martyred. He just died of old age. But both of them did die, as Jesus said. But because of Jesus, they also receive new life. Just like you. Also, even though they were misguided in their requests, they did get at least one thing right. They trusted that Jesus was the one in charge and that he could help them. They trusted that even in death, he still had power, which is true. So no matter how we feel unpleasant or have great fear and distress or have a reduced ability to concentrate, Jesus is still in control. And he still brings you to new life. That's good news. So in the name of the one who is stronger than anything we face, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.